Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, June 11th, 2014. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at KingdomStrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort. Pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice in Orlando stroller rentals, and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'll be talking with Adam Dale and Michael Williams about their Rock Your Disney Side 24-Hour Disney Day. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, Aaron. It's good to be here.
Hey, Aaron.
So we're going to talk about... It's a little different here. You know, usually we talk about a trip report show and we have a week or 10 days worth of stuff going on to cover, maybe even just a weekend. But this is really kind of unique because we're going to talk uniquely here about a 24-hour Disney day from the Rock Your Disney Side 24-hour party in the Magic Kingdom. And why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit how, this little venture came together?
Oh, okay. What we did is last year, my family and I, that's how we met up with Mike, is from the 24-hour day last year, and got to be really good friends and seeing things. And we had such a blast at the party that we said, you know, if they ever do this again, we're there. We're going to do it no matter whether it's just a single day that we get to go down. So we had not planned on a spring trip, but all of a sudden they announced this 24-hour party. My wife goes, we need to go. I was like, hey, I can't argue with that, so let's go. So we immediately started looking, like, where are we going to stay? What are we going to do? And we were able to grab a very inexpensive last-minute kind of thing at Bonnet Creek for a few nights. And we thought, hey, we can make it a long weekend. The kids get out of school. We have a long weekend and do all this stuff. And we kind of left it at that. That's the way it was going to be.
Okay.
Well, it's... time marched on, me and Mike got to talking and was like, hey, you know, wonder what we could do. And I happened to log on one night and saw that the pass holder discount for Wilderness Lodge was like $230 for the night.
And I was like, bad.
I'm like, what? And I was like, hey, if we just had a room, we don't have to put everybody on the reservation. We just need a room to go crash in a bed every once in a while, you know, maybe take a shower, be able to park and go back and forth. And so we talked about that. Mike and I were like, yeah, let's do that. Well, we put it off for a day or two, him hauling back and forth, and all the rooms were gone.
Oops. And, best laid and, plans.
Yes. And the rates started ticking up. $240 turned to $380 real quick.
Ouch.
And then there was nothing at the Contemporary. There was nothing at the Polynesian. There was nothing. We were like, hey, you know, having a room right there, you know, at one of those four Magic Kingdom resorts would really make this easy. And we just kind of scratched our head. And that's when Mike popped up and said, hey, I might have a connection. And that's like, hey, do your magic, man.
All right. So Mike, what magic did you work?
Well, I have a nephew who works for the Disneyland Vacation Club or the Disney Vacation Club out in California.
Okay.
And asked him, I said, hey, I know you, sometimes you can come up with you have those certain ones that you can get, you know, the cheaper price. So he looked it up and said, yeah, you know what? I can get it that night. Normally they block stuff out, but he said, I can actually get that hotel at the Contemporary. I actually had the Contemporary and the Wilderness Lodge, and it was only like a $20 difference or something between the two. Okay. And I thought, well, Contemporary would probably be a little bit better because it's right next door.
Sure, sure. So, the walking access.
Got in touch with Adam and said, hey, well, this is the price he can get us. What do you think? And
I said, go for it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we did. So I said, all right, called my nephew back, said, go and grab it. So we got it all set up. And so we got that room. It was great.
All right, so you're all set with a rendezvous point at the Contemporary. And what was the kind of battle plan for the 24-hour day coming in?
Well, we were going to just meet up at the Contemporary, check in, know that the room might not be ready, but just leave our stuff in the car. And then if they text us that the room was ready, we were going to go out, you know, and all that. Well, Mike goes over the night before and talks the manager into letting us have a room at 5 in the morning. So at 5 in the morning, we get to the Contemporary, and we've got a room waiting on us.
That's and some skill, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike is fearless when it comes to negotiating. And so we had our room, and we, you know, so now we have parking at the Contemporary without any hassle, that we can walk back and forth. We can drop our stuff off. We can come back, you know, shower off if we get too hot, sweaty. The high for Friday was predicted to be 98 with like 90%.
Whether there was anything special you did to prepare for what was supposed to be a really hot day.
We drank lots and lots of water leading up to this.
Yeah.
And the whole way down, I made the kids, we drove down Wednesday afternoon, and I was like, drink water, drink water, drink water, drink water. We got up Thursday morning, drink water, drink water. Take it easy, drink water. And so Thursday, the kids and Tara just kind of lounged around the pool while I took care of a few things. So we kind of took it easy knowing that we were going to go all out for this party.
Okay.
So we meet up at the Contemporary just a hair after 5. We walk back to our room, drop our stuff off, and we're, you know, we've got our shirts on that we've made. We're ready to go, and we're bebopping. I mean, we're wired. The kids are singing. The adults are having a good time. We're skipping down the trail between the Contemporary and Magic Kingdom, just having a good time. I mean, we're ready to go. It's not even 5:30, and we're at the turnstiles. People are packed in there. There's blogger folks there. There's news media there. There's the characters running around in their pajamas. I mean, there's just this energy. Wouldn't you say, Mike, it was just overflowing, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
And so, it was like that even as early as you guys got there.
Yes. It was already – I mean, everybody was excited. It was – you could just feel it. There's nothing like – I mean, we've done Halloween parties. We've done special events. We've done all kinds of stuff. And there's nothing like these 24-hour parties for just the energy everybody has going in. It's just crazy. So we kind of – I kind of rushed on through the gate – because I wanted to try to take a couple of pictures of the characters and their costumes in front of the sign and all this. And all of a sudden, Savannah comes up and grabs me and says, Dad, this woman needs to talk to you. And I'm like, what? What have we done now? And she's like, no, get over here. You've got to talk. She needs to see you right now. And I'm like, because I figured, you know, we had some issue with, we just renewed annual passes. I was like, what in the world can go wrong this morning? And so we get over there, and I'm kind of got this frustrated look on my face, and this sweet little lady, I think her name was Awilla. I think that's what – it was an unusual name. It was Willa, Awilla. It had a new – and she's like, I saw you guys walking over here, and y'all just looked like you were having such a good time, and I wanted to stop you, and I really would like for you to be the family of the day and open the park for us. And mine and Mike's and Tara's jaws just drop. I mean, me and Mike are looking at each other like, seriously?
What?
We were like, you've got to be kidding. And she's like, no, seriously, y'all come with us. Come with me. And we're like, okay, stop. You know, you're our new best friend. We need a picture with you right now. And so we all like huddle up, and she's like, well, we got to go. And I'm like, no, you got to have a picture with us right now. So we're snapping pictures with the cast members, and she's like, no, y'all need to come on. We got to go over here. She's like, just wait right here, and I'll come back and get you in just a second.
Okay.
And we were like, okay. And so she comes back, and we're kind of still trying to figure out what just happened and how this all came about. And so she's like, look, you know, y'all look like y'all were having such a good time, that y'all were just the spirit of the day, and I thought that y'all would be the perfect family for this. We're like, great. This is awesome. She's like, well, give me just a second. Let me go get the show director, and we're going to walk you up. And
okay.
We're like, great. So we're grinning ear to ear. I mean, I think me and Mike look like the Chester cat walking through there with our – this. big grin. And
well, you still look like that. I saw the picture from, you know, after, you know, when you're standing there with the mayor. So that grin never got wiped off your faces. But go ahead.
No, no. And that was the fire chief, not the mayor.
Oh, okay.
We were corrected.
Yeah. I will say the point, Adam, that you did point out to her. That's like, you know, we've gone through here many times, and every time we go through here, we always want to be the family of the day, and we never get it. And this one day, we get it.
Right. I mean, it was the, you know, of all the days, of all the times that we've come to the parks, you know, we've showed up early. We always do the whole matching T-shirt thing and all this stuff. And, you know, here we are, you know, this big event. There's everybody and everything. All the cameras are on this. I mean, I've got so many photos and so many videos that folks have sent me.
Right.
That it's great because everybody that we talk to on Twitter and all these different blog panelists and photo journalist folks, they're like, hey, you know, hey, I saw on Twitter where you were the, you know, family day. I got some photos I'll send you. And I was like, great. You know, this is, you know, everybody captured this moment for us and it was awesome.
Cool.
So they walk us up the backside of the train station. There's like this little ramp that runs around. I didn't even know that little ramp was there. They take us up in there and they're like, we meet the fire chief and we're talking to him and he's like, hey, y'all come out here. Mike's asking him if we could take some pictures of the park with nobody in there. And he's like, yeah, y'all come on back here. And so he's like snapping pictures of us and there's nobody. I mean, it's empty. There's nobody. There's not even people picking up trash. There's not even people moving. It's just, we've got some photos of just a completely empty park all the way down Main Street.
Okay.
And I mean, just great. And then of course, then the singers, the trolley singers and all those people start coming in. They're like, hey, you know, where y'all from? We're just talking and carrying on. And just, and my kids are just staring at it like dad's lost his mind because I mean, me and Mike, this was a big deal.
Yeah,
and so, and we were trying to convince the kids how big a deal this was. And so they like give us this instruction, like, you know, y'all got to do this and you do this and everybody line up this way. And so, you know.
So they're getting you all lined up and ready.
Yeah. So things that we didn't know about this, the family doesn't ride in on the train. If you ever think you saw the family ride in, you don't ride in on the train. They actually put it down this big platform up there and the train comes in and they're like, okay, when the train comes in and stops and the characters get off, y'all are going to come through the train and real quickly and get over there. So,
so you walk across through the train.
Right.
Okay.
And they're like, no, you're going to line up and, you know, Mickey's going to talk to you and we're going to count down and we're going to wave everybody. And, you know, and it was very weird seeing all of this from the backside.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, like you're seeing all the people coming and going and dancing. And it's like, well, this is just different. And we were having a good time.
It was pretty cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, Mike was like taking photos of all the backside stuff. Like, check out this view from back here.
Yeah. I have like a little video of the train coming in from the backside and a little video of the dancers from the backside. And it's like, oh, you don't get to see it from this side. You always see it from down, you know, down below. And right. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is. That's great.
So they bring us out and, you know, they're all the hoopla's going on and everything's on. And they're like, hey, here's the family. And everybody comes out and we're waving and carrying on and, you know, we're just having us a good time up there, waving at everybody. And we count down and they blow off the fireworks and everything happens. And it's people rush into the park. And then we're sitting here going, wait a minute, we're now the last people in the park. But it was kind of unusual because everybody rushed on through all of a sudden. And then the fire chief just kind of walks us down and he's like, hey, let's take some pictures and let's do some more stuff. And so we wandered down. And by the time we got down in front of the train station, the hub was empty again. It's like, well, this is weird.
So you basically missed that whole initial rush.
Yes. And he was like, the fire chief was like pointing to the kids and was like, "See, look at all these people. Y'all just let all these people in here. And because of you, they're all getting in here and they're walking in and having fun." The kids started, got into it at that point, you know. "Hey, you know, we got to do something special." And so we took all these pictures and they brought us a photo pass and said, "Look, you know, we took a bunch of photos before the day's over. Y'all come back up here and, you know, pick out an 8x10 and we'll have it printed for you and everything." And that was great. And of course, we already had a memory maker, so it wasn't, you know, that we didn't. We had all the photos that they took.
Right, sure. But you also got the print, which is nice.
Right. And then before we left, the fire chief come back and he said, "Hey, I've got something for you." And he pulls out these paper fast pass, kind of like the old school fast pass, and said, "You know, y'all can use these to do anything you want to. You know, pick something and do it today." I was like, "Well, hey, that's great." And of course, my kids kept asking him about the mine train.
Sure.
And he would kind of wink at them and say, "Well, we don't know if it's going to be running today." And he'd kind of look at them and wink.
So you were getting hints.
Yes, we were getting hints. And so we were like, "Well, okay, we'll see." Of course, then the lady comes out with the stack of paperwork. And we had to, I don't know whether we signed away a first kid or not.
It's just interesting to me that they let you do everything before they had you sign all the paperwork.
Right.
Yeah, that we kind of thought that was unusual. I guess they figured that nobody was going to say no at this point.
Of course, you did say that to her, right?
Yes, I did. I did, and she kind of looked at me. Like, is he serious? Like, no, I'm not signing that. And but part of the reason for the release was is it being the 24-hour party, there was news media there, and it was more than just the park. Apparently, right. They don't make you, if on normal days, sign your life away.
Right, but they needed publicity releases for the video and for the stills that all right. The media had taken at the opening.
Right, because little did we know that within about 30 minutes, our face got plastered everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was showing up on, you know, newspaper sites and all the, you know, news media sites and all that.
You know, yes. It was funny. That was one of the things when we were up in that in the train station. You know, we were all talking about, you know, being on TV and stuff like that. And I was telling Adam's wife, Tara, I was like, you know, it's not just these little things. You know, it's not like just the local news. I said, you know what? This is going to be so big. It's going to be like worldwide. This is going to go out through every place. There's like millions of people who are going to see this.
Yep.
You know, that's like lots of people. And she's like, "Oh, wow, I never thought of that."
Yeah, so after we signed our life away, then Mike and I decided, hey, let's go get some merchandise. So we went to get shirts, and while we were getting shirts, we told the kids, "Hey, we're going to get shirts. Y'all go on up and wander up, take some pictures, and do some things." So Tara and the girls took some photos and did some stuff. And about that time, Jeff texts me and says, "Hey, the mine train's running. Y'all need to get back here." And so I told Mike, I said, "Let's pay for this and go." So I texted Tara, said, "Meet us at the mine train." So they went and got, Tara and the girls went and got in line for the mine train, which they were way back. At that point, the line was already out of the queue and wrapped around the attraction back all the way to the teacups.
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing, you know, following the Twitter feed that day about that and about how long that line got just instantly.
So I look at Mike, we're almost there, and I said, "Hey, Mike, we've got these fast passes that were good for anything.
Right.
Would it hurt to ask?" And so we walk up there and we made our second best friend of the day. And so we asked the guy and he's like, "Well, you know, sure, why not? Y'all were the first family of the day, why not?" I was like, "Cool. Tara, bring the kids and get up here."
So now wait, this is important because you realize that this means that you guys are almost certainly the first people ever to fast pass the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Correct.
Yep.
Yep. Because at that point they had only done standby and cast member only letting them in.
Right.
So there was no fast pass. So yes, there had been no fast pass for this. So I guess that's true. We were the first to fast pass it.
But there was a little issue right off.
Yes. So we get out these things that the fire chief had given us, and the guy looks at them and he's like, "Wait a minute." He's like, "These are like for character interactions." And we were like, "Huh?" because we'd not read them. We just took the fire chief at his word. And he's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. He's like, I'll wait. Y'all just come on. Let's go. Let's do this. He said, here, y'all use these for something else. And and
they gave them back
come on.
To you.
He gave them back to us and said, come on, which comes into play later in the day.
Okay. Well, we'll save for that.
Yep.
Right, so let's slow down and talk about Mind Train, because you know we've all seen bits and pieces of publicity shots and things like that, but I want to hear a firsthand account. So, you know, Mike, you've got the photographer's eye. Talk to me about the queue as you're entering Seven Dwarfs Mind Train.
Well, the Fast Pass queue kind of just takes you almost straight into to where the train is. I mean, it was
okay.
Quick. Yeah, so
you missed the whole scene setting.
Right. As we were walking up there, I was telling Adam, I was like, you know, some of the great stuff about this is going through the queue itself, and we're actually going to miss it all. But,
and
you know, that's fine. I'd rather go on the train right now. So, but, yeah, so we get inside, and, I mean, literally, you're, like, right there to pretty much almost board the train. So it was pretty awesome. And
yeah, they cut you up into three lines
right.
Once you get in, and you walk straight in, and they're like, go line one, line two, and line three, which puts you into the three sections of the cars.
Okay.
And then we lucked out. Well, I thought it was kind of lucky because I heard the back is the best, so that's where we ended up being, was the very back. And so it was kind of cool. You get in there, and, you know, the seats are really nice. It's very comfortable. And got all set up, and we sat there for a minute, and then I guess some guy that was a few cars ahead of us had dropped his water bottle or something in between the cars, so we had to wait a couple minutes by the grabber to pull that out. Yeah, so I'm like, oh, I don't believe this. So, but anyway, that got cleared up, and then off we went, and it was an awesome ride. It was, I know, like going through, you go. I'm trying to remember now.
Well, the interesting thing is the right out the gate you drop.
Right.
There's no launch. There's no anything. The train rolls and it goes straight down.
Okay. Right. Because you basically fall off the hill.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a nice little it's very smooth, but boy, those cars can get to swaying. If you want them to, you can get them swinging.
Okay.
You could,
so,
you know,
so they do react to, you know, attempts to swing them a bit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. we were shouting left, right, left, right.
Well, I mean, that's interesting to me, and I think it's a good thing, because what it means is that the intensity of the ride is sort of variable based on rider input, right?
Yes.
You know, you've got older kids or you're adults. You can make it sway and really kick it in. You got younger kids who are kind of being introduced to this kind of an attraction, and it can be kept a little less intense for them.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. So, yeah, it's because I know there was this later on in the day we went a second time, or whatever day it was that we went a second time, and it was. We had more adults in the car I was in, and that thing swung pretty good. So,
okay,
yeah, the more I guess weight I would probably say
you
move around in there, yeah, it can rock pretty good.
All right, so you start with that big drop, the swaying gets going, so there is a little bit of thrill in there, but not too intense, and then. You come through that portion, and what were kind of the highlights in terms of the thrill portions of the attraction for you?
It's, I would say, it's just as fast seemingly as Big Thunder Mountain, but just very, very smooth. It doesn't have that jerky up and down motion.
Right.
So you're moving that fast, and I mean, you can feel your stomach, you know, it'll take your stomach and take your breath in a couple of places. So, I mean, it's not intense, but it still will get you.
Right.
If you're, you know. But,
it probably adds more with the swinging sensation, you know, going around curves and stuff like that, because it kind of adds to it as you go around a curve. It's also swinging, so.
Right. And it looked to me from an outside observation, not having ridden it, just kind of seeing the track as they pulled the walls down, that the turns seemed a little tighter than what we see on most of the Disney coasters. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And those worked? I mean, they gave you that sense of thrill, the hairpins?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. And it's like you have that first bit and you go through and then you have a climb and then you go down and you do some turns and then you go up to the cave and it slows up. And now you're going to where the seven dwarves are working in the mine. And so then that's like a little animatronic, and I guess the best way to put it is the eyes and stuff are similar to like Buzz Lightyear and Mr. Potato Head, the way his eyes were kind of realistic, I guess, in a way. So, I don't know how you really
I was gonna say
that.
Almost their whole face is done
right,
that way.
Yeah,
their mouth and eyes and everything. Except for their big noses.
So the faces, my understanding is the faces are essentially projected animation onto or through the animatronic character.
Right, right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Which makes taking a picture almost impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's fair. It means you really do have to experience it firsthand.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go through the mine, and then you go up. Another ramp inside, and then you come out again, and you go through the second kind of half of the roller coaster ride. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was really, really exciting. So
Adam, tell me more about the dark ride portion of the attraction. What did you think of that dark ride portion? Because I've heard kind of mixed reports. I mean, on one hand, the tech of it was impressive, but I've heard other complaints that there just wasn't enough of it.
It's enough for a roller coaster.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a dart. It's not meant to be a dart ride. It's meant to be a hybrid, to give you a little sense. I mean, it's not like going, you know, that 20-minute ride through Splash Mountain and then the one drop. It's right. Kind of the reverse. You've got, you know, several long pieces and then, you know, a short storytelling piece.
Okay.
It's, you know, like I said, it's kind of the reverse of Splash Mountain.
That makes sense.
But inside it, it's... You have to really pay attention because you're still moving at a decent pace, even though it's slower, to see all the detail. And it's phenomenal. I mean, and you can't see it when you first come in. I mean, the way they've designed it, you come into the mine and you can't really see it until you cut the turn. And when you cut the turn, then there's Dopey there with the diamonds in his eyes sparkling. And you kind of cut around and you see all seven of the dwarfs as you kind of roll through there doing their different things and in different poses.
Okay.
And then as you go up the ramp to get out, you also don't hear, you know, how most roller coasters you hear that tick, 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 to take you up. There's no noise. There's no sound other than the miners. You hear the pickaxes ticking and, you know, Doc blowing the whistle for them to go.
Interesting. Okay.
And as you go up the hill, then there's the shadow of the seven dwarfs. Like there, you can see the shadow of them marching out of the mine.
Uh-huh.
And then you hit the top and you go down. And you roll around and roll around the hills there until you get to the cottage. And then when you get to the cottage, Snow White and the dwarfs are dancing around and carrying on. And they dance throughout the cottage. Like,
yeah.
They aren't still. It's very impressive at the end.
Okay. Yes. Very cool.
And it depends on how long you... Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, of course, right when you get to the end of that, the little house, the little shack there, there's someone, like, looking at through the window.
Yes.
The old lady, yes. The old lady with the apple.
Just peering through the window.
Right, yeah.
The hag.
Yes.
So... And then and you can kind of sit there. And I guess they did that in such a way so that if the cars are stalled, unloading or whatever, and you're sitting there, you can watch that and be somewhat entertained watching the different features through those windows of the cottage and the dwarfs interacting with Snow White.
Oh, okay. So even if you've got a delay, there's, you know, just like in the queue, they've added things to keep you occupied
exactly.
And interested. They've done it on the back end as well.
That's exactly what it is. And My only knock on it is it's a little short.
Okay.
It seems to go by. I mean, it's all there and you have all this stuff, and we've sat here and talked about it for 10 minutes, but the ride's about 2 minutes long.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
All right.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So, you know, you got to use your your ultimate fast pass, perhaps even beyond its expected boundaries, and got the first ever fast pass ride on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Where do you go from there?
At that point, we looked at each other. Okay, we've done what we wanted to do today.
that was pretty much exactly what. That was what for the first 45 minutes of yes. being in the park.
By 7:30, I mean not 7:30, 6:30, 6:45, we had opened the park, gotten merchandise, signed our life away, and rode the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We were like, hey, we're done. So we were like, well, let's go get a snack. So we went to Gaston's. Chloe wanted a cinnamon roll. So we went to Gaston's and got a cinnamon roll and some drinks, and we're sitting there. And we noticed they had all these film cameras set up. We're like, wonder what's going on back here. And found out eventually that this very British sounding guy, he was from the Weather Channel. And Mike, do you remember what his name was? I forget what
I can't remember his name.
But he comes over.
One of the anchors from the Weather Channel.
Yes, he comes over, introduces himself, and he says, they tell me that you guys were the family of the day that opened the park. I just wanted to come over and say hi. And, you know, and he stood there and chatted with us for a little bit about our plans for the day and things. And it was, you know, it was kind of cool to meet somebody else while you're just sitting there eating your cinnamon roll. We just kind of sat there and watched people for a little while, watched all the people coming in with their costumes and people checking out the mine train, and then the folks hanging out with the weather people, and just kind of
took it all in. Some were a little scary. Some were a little scary, like the two fairy godmothers.
Yes, the dudes dressed up like fairy godmother were interesting.
Was it just my impression from the various photos that people were posting, or were there an inordinately large number of guys whose Disney side involved cross-dressing?
There was a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a lot of couples that were reversed. Like the guy was dressed as some princess something, and the girl was dressed as the male role. I was like, well, that's interesting. Okay. And then there was lots of. I mean, we got some killer ideas for some Halloween costumes from this. I mean, the costumes were better for this than I've seen at the Halloween parties.
Wow.
I mean, people dressed over the top.
Okay.
And, I mean, there were some of the people dressed that we weren't sure whether they were cast members or if they were guests. But by the way they were acting, we were like, they really have to be guests.
Yeah, really, really good ones.
Okay. All right. So you've hit Gaston's, picked up a little breakfast, chatted up the Weather Channel anchor. Where do you go from here?
At this point, we just decide, hey, let's go do some rides. And we just started milling around and doing rides and hanging out and just. Okay.
So what was the crowd like in the park at this point? I mean, it's at this time now, it's probably what, about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning?
About 8. We walked on whatever we wanted to.
Okay. So yeah, not a crazy crowd.
It was not crowded, at least as much as I thought it was going to be. It was actually pretty light. I was really.
Everybody was in line for the mine train.
Yeah, I'd heard that, you know, that it seemed like half of the people in the park were in line either for the mine train or for Anna and Elsa, and it left the rest of the park empty.
That's right. Exactly what it was. I mean, when you walked into the area where Princess Story Hall is and the mine train, it was very congested right there. But as you moved away, there was nobody. Walk in, walk right up to Pirates. Walk in, walk right up to, you know, Peter Pan. Walk in, walk right up to Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, I would actually say, with the exception of those two things, the meet and greet and the Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride, that everything was like 10 minutes or 5 minutes or less. It was pretty much just walk on pretty much everything. Yep.
Walk on to Splash Mountain. Walk on to Big Thunder. Yep. I mean, as fast as you could walk through the queues, you could get on the rides.
Awesome.
And it stayed that way till... what, 11 o'clock?
Yeah, probably about that. And then it started loading up a little bit.
then the people started coming in.
Right, because now it's getting closer to, you know, normal rope drop times and normal, even normal people who sleep in a little bit times, and 10 a.m. rolls around and the real crowd shows up.
Yeah. So we milled around, and we had the 12 o'clock, they were running the Festival of Fantasy Parade twice. So right. we had a fast pass to get in the queue for that because we wanted to take some good photos. We didn't know whether they would do anything different for that, and they didn't. But you just never know with these events what they're going to do.
Well, and I will say, you know, I used a FastPass Plus slot for the Festival of Fantasy Parade as well, and I thought the location that they used for that was excellent for photo taking, especially.
Mm-hmm. It's excellent for photo taking, not so excellent for getting stuck in the sun.
That's true.
The other thing
I noticed about it is that you're very exposed.
It is a very hot place.
Yeah.
We left that a little bit because we got probably about the only shady spot, which wasn't very much, right underneath a tree or right by a tree. So
yeah, but that time of day, the problem is that they run the parade. If they run the parade at 3, there is some shade there from the tree. But at noon, the sun is straight up, so you don't really get any shade.
Right. Yeah.
So we did that, and then we just sort of milled around for a while. And decided, hey, we're getting hungry. So we milled around for a little while, and it was close to 2. And we decided to go, hey, let's just go back. All the restaurants, even the counter service stuff, was starting to get packed. So we just went back to the Contempo Cafe and got a sandwich or two and sat down and ate. Tara and the girls went on and changed and went to the pool. And we kind of relaxed and ate.
It's interesting to me that the whole crowd was, you know, getting lunch later in the day, that whole lunch hour came late, especially when the park opened so early. That just seemed odd to me. I guess maybe everybody kind of intentionally was trying to shift their clocks late so that they could stay up late and stay late at the park.
I think so. I think a lot of people started their day late with the idea of staying till, you know, midnight or so.
Okay. Makes sense.
But, you know, we went back, we rested for a little bit. Mike took a nap for a little while. I went and got in the pool with the girls. We came in from the pool. Mike had already woke up and was ready to head out. And I got the girls to lay down for a little bit. And then Mike milled around for a little while by himself. I don't even know. I didn't even ask you what you did for that hour or two that we were.
Honestly, I didn't do really much. I just walked around and just kind of hung out. So I just took it easy.
And then, what was it? About 7:30, 8 o'clock. We headed back over there and met you at the front.
Yeah.
And we stopped and got some coffee, which the line for Starbucks was getting pretty long. It was kind of, they should have put a wait time out front. And then we went.
Could have made it a FastPass Plus reservation.
Yeah. And then we had FastPass Pluses for Wishes. And they shot Wishes off early that night. What was it, 9 o'clock? And which is very unusual for the summer.
I think, was it before you guys came over, you were asking me about trying to get a dinner reservation?
Yes. Yes. It was while we were headed over there. I said, hey, if you see anything, just stop by and ask. And Mike got us a dinner reservation at midnight at the
pavilion or the plaza.
The plaza.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we figured that would be easy. We could sit down, cool off, you know, eat a burger, eat a sandwich, eat a salad, get some ice cream, and then, you know, have plenty of energy for the rest of the night if the kids could make it that long.
Well, yeah, and for a situation like that, the plaza really is perfect because it's, you know, not quite so heavy a meal, and it's less expensive. And, you know, when you're stretching your day out, that's probably a good way to do it.
Yeah.
It worked out really well for us. The only problem with that is that we missed the last pre-parade for the villains pre-parade they did before the electrical parade, before the villains took over the park.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that little villains pre-parade that they were adding.
So we missed that, but we were sitting there eating when that went by. which after seeing some of the video of it, I'm like, well, I was kind of, maybe we should have got up and went out, but we didn't. We rested and ate and took it easy for a little while. But it wasn't long after that that we decided, hey, in about 45 minutes, the villains take over, you know, the evil queen and Maleficent take over one side of Princess Fairytale Hall. And then, of course, you still had the Frozen characters meeting on the other side. So we wander back there. And what was it was like 210 minutes was the wait time.
Oh, my goodness. And this is at like nearly 1 a.m. now.
This is 1:30.
1:30 a.m. And it was what was the wait time?
210 for the minutes? 210 minutes for Frozen and almost 300 for the villains.
Wow.
So I look at Mike and I say, hey, Tara, get those fast passes out. And we look at them, and sure enough, they say meet and greet Princess Fairytale Hall. I was like, hey, it's on the list. And I'm like, what's the worst thing they can do is tell us no. So while we're standing there milling around deciding whether or not we're going to ask these people if we can do this, this lady approaches us and said, hey. And we were like, yes, we've got this special meet and greet with Maleficent later, and it's live action Maleficent. If you come back to Cinderella's royal table at the time on this card, you know, you'll get to do this meet and greet. We were like, cool. Okay. So something different. And it was just because we were in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah. Yep.
So we took those and we shuffled those away for later. And we walked up to the fast pass lady and showed her our things. And she said, sure, I don't see why we can't do that. And we walked right past everybody, walked straight in and met classic Maleficent and the evil queen. And the thing that was unusual, and I don't know if you, me and Mike talked about it a little bit, but at the Halloween parties, the villains don't really talk to you. They just kind of glare at you and point and whatever. Well, Maleficent was awful chatty.
Yeah.
I mean, like, very chatty, like, to the point of, like, wow, this is weird. And so was the evil queen. They were both asking questions and talking and cutting up and carrying on, and it was different. A different kind of experience with them. And I was like, well, this is good. And so after that, we kind of moved to that pretty quick, and we went on and rode a few rides and just kind of milled around the park for a while. Really kind of killing time till our 3:15 slot to meet live-action Maleficent.
Right. Now, let me be clear here. At this point, it's 3:15 a.m., and you and Mike have been in the park continuously since opening the park.
With the exception of a little rest trip, which was...
Right, you ran across to Contempo, but you know, no nap or anything in there.
Right. So
yeah, Mike got about a 45-minute to an hour nap, and I got a couple-hour nap.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right, so you did take a little break, not complete Ironman here.
Yeah, right. No, not complete. We never left the property, though.
So, right.
You know, staying at the Contemporary, we never left Disney. You know, we were within walking distance all the time.
Right. Okay.
So that's the way we look at it anyway. So.
Yeah. we were there.
Yeah. So
we left during.
Yeah. And of course, Adam had to do, he wanted to hit the laugh floor. And guess what? Yeah. Guess what? Yeah. Guess who was that guy?
I've always thought of Adam as that guy.
Yeah. So he was chosen as that guy.
Now, we hit the laugh floor after we saw live-action Maleficent because I wore my horns in.
Yes.
So, yeah, we got at the meet-and-greet with live-action Maleficent. They gave us these really neat, hard, plastic headband horns that were very ornate. And they also gave us movie passes to go see the movie at the movie theater of our choice when it comes out this weekend as part of the meet and greet.
Uh-huh.
So not only did we get to meet this Maleficent that was, by the way, spot on.
Yeah, she was really good.
I mean, from the I don't know whether that was her natural eyes or they put contacts in her or what, but that was the closest thing to seeing Angelina Jolie as Maleficent as you're going to get in person.
Yeah.
For schlubs like us.
Okay.
I mean, even her voice and her mannerisms.
Yeah, it was right on.
The girls asked her a question, and she just kind of gave that tilt of the head and that, well, and that big teethy grin. And I was like, that's just uncanny. I mean, it was just.
It's very, almost that for that split second, you're like, okay, is that maybe her? Or no, I can't be her. Well, maybe? No, I can't be her. So, she was really, really good.
And of course, then when we leave, the Disney guy that the suit that was handling this, he was asking the kids, like, okay, how did y'all feel about this? Was it scary? How was the interaction? Like, they were quizzing the kids about their experience here.
Oh, interesting.
So
you think they're playtesting for a more realistic Maleficent?
I think so. I mean, that was the sense we got. You know, we may see her again if the movie does well. You may see her again at the Halloween parties or something.
Sure.
But it was a great. I mean, I think we found out. They told us later in the night that it was 200 or 300 people was all they chose to do this. So, out of all the people coming through, we lucked out.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, this was like the day of luck. And, you know, of course, then we go to the laugh floor, and I get to beat that guy and get my sticker. And we just kind of milled around. And then we started seeing more rare characters around. We were on the other side of the park. We didn't get to see Hades and Pain and Panic. They were on the opposite side of the park and didn't even know they were out until the park closed. But we did. We ran up on Boulder Hat Guy from Meet the Robinsons. Which was funny because I posted the picture and there's like 3 or 4 people going, who's that? Like, people don't know who the Boulder Hat Guy is. And
now, see, I'm disappointed that I missed Boulder Hat Guy because he's never around, even for the Halloween party.
They had lots out. The Big Bad Wolf was out.
Yeah, but you know, the Disney version of the Three Pigs with the Big Bad Wolf isn't my favorite movie, and Meet the Robinsons is. So.
Oh, okay. we also got to meet Lotso. Lotso was out. Lotso was having lots of fun too. He was cutting and dancing and cutting up and having a good time at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, at this point it's 5:30 in the morning. We did a few meet and greets. You know, we did. Milled around, and they kind of was herding everybody up to the front of the park for the last kiss goodnight. And they brought the Mickey and Minnie characters out in pajamas, and everybody got to sing the Mickey Mouse song. And, you know, you got to watch the kids' reaction to that. And everybody was just, it was like a big happy family right there at the end, singing along and having a good time. And people had been here for, you know, 24 hours, and it was over.
So it all ends. It's about, you know, what, 6:30 in the morning now. And I assume you guys drag yourself back over to the Contemporary.
That's true.
Tell me about recovery. Because it's 6:30 and you got to check out of the Contemporary in 4.5 hours here.
No, that was one of my other magical things I got to do. I extended the checkout time till 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
We got our money's worth on this Contemporary stay. Let me just tell
you. Did. All right, so you bought yourself another 2 hours. It's still, you're talking, you've got, what, 4.5 hours of rest here?
Well, Mike was bouncing off the walls. He comes in, grabs his bag, and said, I'm up. I'm heading out.
I only live like 10 minutes from there, so it wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay. So you weren't heading out to a park. You were heading home.
Yeah, I just shot home. So. Okay.
All right, and you got home, and how long did you crash for?
I think I got up 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that. So a good 5 hours at least.
Okay.
And we settled down, got the kids to lay down, but they all woke up. I had alarm set for 12:15 just in case we slept and needed time to grab our stuff and get out. But by 12 o'clock, everybody was up and ready to go. So we slept from 7 to 12 and we were up and out, and we went back to we had rooms at Bonnet Creek, and so we dropped our stuff off at Bonnet Creek, milled around for a little while, and we ended up getting back out that night and going to Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
And did a few things and watched the Star Wars fireworks that night and just kind of hung out for a while.
All right. So you did do a little something, but it was more laid back and
yes.
just there to, you know, kind of see the scene that was part of Star Wars weekend as opposed to, you know, really trying to tackle a park that day.
Right. After. Yeah. We did our we had Fast Pass plus reservations for three rides. We did those. We met a few characters that were out. The Sand People were out wandering around. Sand People, Jawas, and Stormtroopers were everywhere, so we kind of did that for a little while. But, yeah, we didn't do anything intense.
All right. Well, it sounds like overall you guys made the most of your 24-hour Disney day.
We did. We had a ball.
That was awesome.
So if you're looking back and picking out your single favorite thing in the 24 hours, Michael, what was your single favorite thing in the 24 hours?
I'm going to say it was the family opening. That was probably the best.
All right. And what about it made it the best? Was it getting to see the backside of stuff, getting to, you know, look out on the crowd waiting to come in? What was it that made it stand out?
I would say looking out over the crowd and just having that opportunity to be up front and just, like, welcome everybody into the park. It was pretty awesome.
All right. How about you, Adam? What was your single favorite thing about the 24-hour day?
It has to be getting to open the park. I mean, we got to be part of Disney history. I mean, that's something that, you know, they've only done 3 24-hour parties ever, and we got to open the park for one of them. I mean, if you Google Rock Your Disney Side Park, our face shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that just... My kids will talk. We'll talk about that forever. That'll always be, you know, one of our great Disney memories.
Yeah. Yeah, I will. All right, guys. Well, thanks for sharing that Disney memory with us. We've had a lot of fun hearing about it, and I'm sure you'll be back again to tell us about your next Disney adventure.
One thing, Aaron.
Oh, sure.
I'd say, and I think Mike would agree with me, If you have the chance and you can take anybody out there listening and you can take a long weekend, or even if you only have a couple of days to cram in one of these 24-hour parties, if they do them again, do it. Take the time and do it. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be tired. You're going to be wore out, but you're going to have the time of your life. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be crazy, but there is nothing like it. You can disagree or agree with me, but there's nothing like the energy there during this event.
Yeah. Even the cast members, you know, even kind of really get into it too, you know? So, I'm here until, you know, like 2 a.m, but I'm going to come right back into the park and finish it off. So I'm like, wow, okay, cool.
And most of them we talked to volunteered to work it.
Yep.
They were like, yeah, I volunteered, you know, as soon as they announced it, I volunteered to pull a 12-hour shift.
Wow.
Because they're like, the cast members will tell you, there's nothing like it. The energy, the people, the excitement that goes on. We've done it twice now, and I've never seen anything like it any other time of the year.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, it sounds great. Thanks for coming on and sharing it with us.
Thanks for having us, Aaron. This was great.
Thank you.
At the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big. a figment of imagination.